You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Diogo Jota and Darwin Nunez each score a brace in the second half and inspire Liverpool to a 4-0 win at Bournemouth. Arsenal put 5 past Crystal Palace in a must-win game for the Gunners, while the pressure ramps up on Roy Hodgson and the Palace owners. Ivan Toney makes his long-awaited return to Brentford and provides the sting the bees need in a 3-2 win over Nottingham Forest. And we will talk Foamgate. And Ollie McBurnie scores the latest ever goal in the Premier League history to cap a wild 2-2 draw against West Ham. That's what we've got coming up in today's show.
Okay, my friend, we're going to start at the Vitality. Two of the most informed teams in the Premier League, you know, over recent weeks. Bournemouth hosting Liverpool. Our commentators were Graham Lasso and John Champion, yep, and actually were saying how windy and the conditions weren't great for the players and maybe affected some of the quality of the football, certainly in the first half. But I think we both had a feeling that, let's just concentrate on the first half, so that Bournemouth started the game well.
Yeah.
They took it to Liverpool. There's a confidence about the way they play. I thought Tinisterra and Tavernier in the wide areas were causing one or two problems. Solanke's in good form, and I think we saw some of the reasons why Bournemouth are in the form they're in, and there's a confidence about the manager and the style that they play now.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, Rob, to break this game down into two halves, because it really was a game of two halves. In the first half, we were all impressed with Bournemouth and the way that they play. I think you're right. I think the playing through Liverpool that happened a few times is the first part of this. Like, they can really play now. I think they're very comfortable in angles and the way that they build up their play, really, really good. And the second part of it is the way that they press.
Yeah.
And they high-press Liverpool, and that's what they do now. And that's, I think, the thing that we've heard from the players of Bournemouth talk about. It took a little bit of time to figure out when they go and press and when they kind of hold back a little bit. Yeah. They've obviously got that pretty groove right now. And yes, it's windy and the conditions weren't easy, which sometimes levels it a little bit.
Yeah,
but I thought it's very fair to say that the first half, both teams were very even.
Yeah.
No dominance in Liverpool. They had no normal control that you might expect. Mm. But just the Bournemouth team and the way that they played, I thought was particularly impressive. I really like Ryan Christie. And I know he's more of a left-footed little playmaker. Maybe more of a number 10, Rob, or an attacking guy. He plays as one of the two holding players for them. Lewis Cook is a really good footballer. Mm. Tyler Adams, we know, the American international, is suffering with a bad injury right now, but he will return at some point to play in the midfield. I just, you know, it's a really good example, Rob, of a manager coming in Andoni Iraola and bringing his philosophy from Spanish football, where he did so well. And we saw all of that in the first 45 minutes, didn't we?
Absolutely. There's a lot of attention on Dominic Solanke, 12 Premier League goals, the most of any English player in the league. And I did a little bit of reading up on a few things that he said this week. And he talked about that early stage of the season, Rob, where he said there was a lot of information coming and taking it all on and playing and then trying to be natural with it took a while. And he said, you know, he's worked with whether it's Billing in the hole or Clive in the hole behind him. And he said they like to press together, but at times he would go and Billing wouldn't and vice versa. He said that took 6 or so weeks. But he said once we've got it and now we have got it, it makes us such a better team. And he said something really interesting that we saw a couple of times today. He said, I'm scoring more goals because I'm pressing higher up the pitch than central. And so he said, I'm having more opportunities through that alone. And it sort of struck me that actually that's just quite a simple thing. But if you're higher up the pitch and you win the ball closer to their goal, It's going to give you more opportunities to score goals.
But we know that that's a probably the most common way of scoring a goal is transitions and winning the ball back.
So you have to be brave to do it, Rob.
You have to be brave to do it.
And everybody's got to be organised to do it.
And teams sometimes can be successful not doing it. Mm. I'm thinking of West Ham that we'll chat later in the show. But, you know, it's just how many times have we, when we broke down goals, we're like, there it is. There's the moment there where there's a press, they win the ball back. The other team are spread, because mostly when you have possession, you want to spread out so you're available and you keep possession. So if you give the ball away, people are spread out. And to get back, running back towards your own goal is never a good thing. And I think that's how Bournemouth have done well and Solanke. It's a good point. And at halftime, Rob, we were like, wow, this is interesting. This is not going to be easy for Liverpool. Switching to Liverpool kind of quickly there. First off, Rob, the way that they started, we know that Mo Salah's out at Africa Cup of Nations. And we get the team sheet and we see that it's Jota, Nunes and Luis Diaz. I did a lineup and we literally get it as a list of 11 players and we have to throw up there what we think's most likely. And we didn't kind of predict what Jurgen Klopp did. Now he did change it at halftime, Rob. I think what they went with initially was Jota up the centre.
Yeah.
Luis Diaz went to the right and Darwin Nunes started on the left-hand side. So like, I know Nunes has done that a few times. He's got a great work ethic to get back and help out. But he's more comfortable central.
Correct.
You made the point half-time, Rob. Luis Diaz is definitely more comfortable on the left-hand side. And Jota, I think he's that good. It doesn't really matter, to be honest. He can play anywhere and be great. Second half, Rob, what did they change and how was it better for Klopp's men?
Well, they went to the positions that we talked about with Nunes central, Diaz on the left-hand side and Jota right. And it was interesting because we heard a Jurgen Klopp interview after the game and he talked about, actually, maybe he got it wrong because the profile of the player, he said Darwin Nunes was waiting for the game out on that left-hand side, which isn't...
He used static, and we spoke to Jota. Yeah. He used the same word as well. So they definitely talked about a static Liverpool kind of left side.
And that's
side.
Not when they're at the best. They're getting Nunes down the middle with those runs with a little bit more space. I think with players around him, it is better. Jota, he talked about, is a clever player coming in field and playing combinations. He's as good as can and gets his goal. And Diaz, it just looked like a happier front three. And then behind that, Rob, I thought the midfield got control of the game. Elliot, Jones and McAllister. And McAllister particularly, I thought, was excellent today.
Yeah, really good.
I thought his passing range, his ability to knit the play together, to give confidence to his teammates by keeping possession. Listen, he wasn't bought as a six. He's playing as a six at the moment. Endo's away, and whether they're going to find one or he's going to be the one, Thiago still to come back into the team. But McAllister's such a clever, intelligent footballer, Rob. I thought it was their dominance in midfield, and Jones and Elliot deserve some credit in that because they got a control of the second half, and then we started to see Liverpool play.
Just before we get into the goals and the difference and how they link together really well, there was an incident, Rob, potential red card, and I know Liverpool fans were particularly upset about the challenge. It was Justin Kluivert on Luis Diaz. That it looked nasty. Diaz rolled over quite a few times. He's obviously in pain. He actually came out of the game later on, but I don't think it's because of this. Again, when we break this down, I try not to get into the re-refereeing, right? Because the on-field call was actually no call, which is a mistake. The referee, it's a definite foul.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, again, so we're re-refereeing right now, but I thought a yellow card was okay. And I know Liverpool fans that there was one earlier. I think it was Curtis Jones that went over the top
of
the ball.
Spurs game.
Yeah,
and got a red card.
He got for endangering the safety.
Yeah,
and I know you could argue that they were similar. I would still just go on. I thought that was just red. I thought this was just not red. The VAR looked at it. Of course, they look at all these challenges, and they said there's nothing. There's no clear and obvious error in terms of it being a red card.
Yeah.
So play continued. Mm. You thought it was a red.
Well, I definitely thought it's a foul. I thought at the very least it should be a yellow. And then if the referee didn't get a great view, in real time, Rob, it didn't look as bad.
Right.
And so we shouldn't, as you say, second referee and go across. But I thought it was a yellow card because it looks bad. And then VAR might have said to me, come and have a look at this. Because I can still keep a yellow if I go and have a look. And as you say, now I know where you mean where excessive force, it was probably on the buzzer. It wasn't quite as high up. It was a stamping action. I still think, for me, I thought that was a red card.
Mm.
Now, again, it's on the border, and listen, It certainly shouldn't be no card at all. That's a bit that feels uncomfortable.
Well, we agree on that. It really
and
was.
VAR, because if VAR get involved, then we can't. They can't give the yellow card.
Yeah.
So that feels a bit uncomfortable.
Does the fact that we are both a little unsure about
maybe it's not clear and obvious. But then give him a yellow card, and then I'll move on. But not giving him a yellow card.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
It was a mistake by the referee, and he got away. Fortunately, Robbie didn't have a huge bearing on the game, and Diaz looks like he's okay and played on. And you're right. Let's get to the second half when Liverpool clicked.
Mm.
The front three were a real threat, were a menace, were a problem. The midfield had domination, and the combination play, Rob, that comes with Darwin Núñez, who I know you want to talk about, but his ability to run in behind, and I thought clinical finishes today, 2 one-touch finishes, one with the inside of his foot, one with the outside of his right foot, two beautiful one-touch finishes that he gets criticised for very, very often.
Well, maybe he's not the most clinical, Rob. Maybe you could argue that he misses a lot. And I think we've seen that. We've seen that. But he's still a young player.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that he's always in there. There's definitely room for him to grow. I love... We tracked a couple of his defensive plays. I kind of like that. I like the fact he cares about it, and he wants his team. He runs all the way back sometimes to make challenges. It was a good day for him in terms of in front of goal, which is really good. He always runs in behind. He always presses. He's got a brilliant engine. Late in the game, he's running across that front line to press as well. So that is what the manager absolutely adores. I know that. I know that Klopp's like, it's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
My front players have got to press. And I think he's got back to that this year now with these front players, slightly different to ones in the past. We know that the midfield is different, which do a great job as well. But that front three, and it was interesting because I clocked onto the word static.
Mm.
We spoke to Diogo Jota afterwards as a one-on-one interview, which is great to get a Liverpool player into the US fans here on NBC and the networks to try and get a sense of it. And he used the word, we were static.
Yeah,
Jurgen Klopp then spoke later to our colleagues at Sky, said we were static. So that obviously was talked about. And they did free it up a little bit. They did change it a little bit. And when those front three can find some space in the ball, Rob, then their combination, decision-making, the finishing was top class today.
Yeah.
And when you think about a title and when you think about challenges, because we know that City are going to be there or thereabout, we just know it, and you might start comparing with Arsenal, when you see Liverpool's forwards as free-scoring, as creative, as hard-working, effective and confident, and with a back... which is the best defensive record in the league right now, are they ahead of Arsenal, Rob?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think
they're ahead of Arsenal in terms of what they're doing at both ends of the field.
Whether it's just playing, they're better. There's also a mentality that I feel Liverpool have that no other team have against it. There's no inferiority complex for Liverpool. Liverpool know at one stage they beat Manchester City.
Yeah, they've been close in distance before. Yeah.
And a couple of things you touch on, and I know we will move on and talk about Jota's clinical finishing, his production and his numbers, Rob. He might not be the greatest looking athletic footballer, but I tell you what, put him in one-on-one positions. He's heading great in the air. He's finishing off both sides. The Darwin Núñez thing is interesting because you say he's not quite clinical. I would argue when Mo Salah was younger, he wasn't quite clinical. He went from Chelsea, went to Roma, had to learn his trade. There's time for that to come. Getting in the spaces one. And not in it, and I want to just say this, and I hope it doesn't come across in a bad way or like, well, you know, maybe Mo Salah not being there just gives him a little, like, you know, if it's today, we're firing balls down that inside channel for Mo, and we're looking for, today, that's not available. So Darwin Núñez now is the guy who's making runs and getting on the end of things. And again, I'm not saying that he steps up because Mo's not there, but just not having the personality and the goal set and the production from that right-hand side just maybe gives him a little bit more confidence.
I think it's a great point, Rob, because I think when there is an outstanding, phenomenal, dominant forward in a front line of three, I think there is a sense that we look to give it him and others look to give it him and others maybe make runs for him. Mm. And that's worked great.
Yeah.
14 Premier League goals so far for Mo Salah is a phenomenal number. But now being out of the picture a little bit, I think you make a great point. I think it's a valid point. And that's now Núñez on 7 and Diogo Jota on 7. That's production. That's production from the front three players and goals, plus the back four, or the defensive side of it, is pretty stunning. I do want to...
Just quickly on that point. The year Liverpool won the title, and I've done a bit of research on this, guess how many goals Mo Salah got?
Oh, I don't know.
19. Goals came from other sources. So it's not necessarily just Mo Salah, the goals. They have to have the others.
Yeah.
And the others, it's important, you say, Núñez and getting his goal today and Jota are important people.
Well, I just want to chuck in my underappreciated and I don't know, maybe you could argue that he is really appreciated, but I think Diogo Jota is so good. I think he's so good. And he's not always the first on the team sheet. Mm. Oftentimes he comes off the bench. I know he's had his injuries and maybe he would have. I just think that many out there don't realise how good he is. And I asked him a question afterwards about, you know, what do you do special for your finishing? His finishing's so good from difficult angles. He finds the corners all the time. And not just that, his link-up play, his assisting play, his busyness, he drops into the space sometimes, does a Firmino thing really well as well. Yeah. When you've got a guy like that who can play as a 10, can play as a 7 or 11 or a number 9, brilliant. I just think he's a little underappreciated, you know, the class that he's got and how really important he might be for Liverpool going forward, Rob. So I just want to give a... Yeah. We all know Jota, and we all know he's good. I just think he's really, really good.
Yeah, I think when we talk about Liverpool, it's Trent and
Salah and others. And Nunes maybe as well.
Yeah. It's a really good shout and a good day for Liverpool.
Yeah, really good day.
I thought that.
I mean,
that was a little message. That was a little the rest of the league.
They ain't going anywhere, are they?
And they've got players to come back, Rob. I heard, you know, talking before. And we'll have to see what happens with Salah. Trent's not far off. Robbo's not far off.
Sabitzer's
the
fullbacks.
Yeah.
Well, they're not playing right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're right there. They are right there in the title.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Let's move it to the Emirates, my friend, because it was a really important game for two teams at the Emirates. Arsenal facing Crystal Palace. Arsenal needing a win after three defeats in all competitions to get back on the road. And I think we saw a bit of confidence back into the group after the break. Mm. Crystal Palace needing 3 points because they're dropping badly and the bottom three are not that far away. Their form's not been great. I think it was one win in 11 coming into the game. It turned out to be a very, very one-sided game, Rob. Arsenal running up 5-0, two goals from corner set pieces that we showed a little bit of the work that Arsenal must do. And then Trossard with goals, two for Martinelli, which was important for him coming on the pitch. Bit of a rap, bit like hard to describe. Should we quickly talk about Palace first and then talk about
Arsenal?
Yeah,
whatever you want. Yeah, can do.
Because the Palace story is becoming... Can Roy Hodgson see this the rest of the season out? His last season in charge, or are things going to turn as toxic? There were some banners being shown at, I think, 3-0 in the game. Not happy with the management, not happy with the ownership. It's very unlike Crystal Palace to have these things going publicly, Rob. Where are we? How do we feel with Palace and Roy?
I'll tell you how I feel with it right now. Is that Roy Hodgson's been here before. In a situation at this football club where they needed stability, they needed something to pull them together and find the results to get out of it. I think he will make next Tuesday when the Premier League resumes after FA Cup. They play Sheffield United at home. Obviously, it's a massive, massive game. I think that I'm struggling to think of anybody else in the game right now. I know Graham Potter was there, but our understanding is that he's still enjoying it. He's not ready to jump back in yet.
So
that's not likely at Crystal Palace right now. Steve Cooper was talked about. Mm. That's gone very quiet. Is he going to do any better with this squad? Yeah. So I would love, I would hope that Roy Hodgson gets a result next Tuesday and they stick with him and he leads this club to safety. Yeah. I think there's three worse sides than Crystal Palace, but I understand the fear. I understand the run that they're on. It's an awful run right now, Rob. Yeah. And many times owners will make a switch. God, we can't keep this going. Yeah. We've got to find a way to stop the rot. Get a boost from a new manager. I just Yeah, I think the best thing for them, well, I guess it, Tuesday's huge, Rob.
Yeah.
If they have a bad loss at home at Selhurst Park against Sheffield United,
the bottom of the table, yeah. Well, the optics
then,
that,
then that's, I think that's a key game.
What I would say, Rob, and you know, I know a couple of people at that football club from, you know, back in the day, my time there, is that they've got a very, very smart joint owner in Steve Parish, who's not knee-jerk, who won't make a decision just because some of the fans are giving him and the manager some stick. He'll do what's right for the football club, which he's done all
he's
the
tried
way,
his very, yeah.
All
I think he was. Along. I think he was give, hurt. It looked hurt from the banners and
like
the chanting.
Because he's a Palace fan, first and foremost, and then he's a joint owner. And he's done, you know, remarkably well to keep the team in the Premier League for 11
decade,
years.
Yeah,
there's a big summer ahead, but I think the two people, and it was interesting because there was a great shot during the game, and we will move on to Arsenal in a minute, of Roy looking across the pitch at the end, and the banners were up, and you know there was a bit of unrest with the Palace fans, and there was Roy looking into the horizon, and I said to Rebecca, do you know what, he's a sort of honourable, good man, that he might go, listen, if it's not for me and it's better for someone else. But then I heard his press conference after, and whether he was or not thinking that, the steel came back. The experience came back, the stubbornness came back, where I said, you know what, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
He isn't going anywhere.
He's an older guy, obviously, but he's still a fighter.
He's got fight in him. And you don't stay in the game and manage this long and have the clubs he's had, Rob, without that. Yeah. So I hope that Palace can turn things around. I hope Roy gets the finish to his career that he deserves, and then Palace can move on with a new manager, wouldn't you thought? Because these good players at football club, Rob.
Yeah, there is. And that's Michael Issa, of course, is a star player, still out right now, which has to be a concern. Last point on that, I thought the same thing, Rob. When I'm looking at Roy Hodgson, right, and there was a delayed moment on this, I'm thinking, is he taking this in?
Yeah, yeah.
This might be it. And I'm going to just, like, take in the atmosphere. Yeah. I've been in this game for a zillion years. A tremendous career of different varied clubs. Was he just sensing this could be my last time on the sideline?
Yeah.
Just to, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. You're right with
but
the presser.
His presser was, he was fighting again.
Okay.
And good for him.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Arsenal because they were the story, Rob. I mean, it's incredible to say, I don't know, what we mid January, beginning 19th of January. Must win for Arsenal, you know. But we was kind of getting to that place.
It felt like it, didn't it?
A little bit.
And everything else.
And two goals from set pieces. We've done a bit of work, and I've done something on a Samsung Galaxy Tactics breakdown on Arsenal's work at set pieces and how it helped them with his first two goals from corners. Trossard blocking off for Gabriel to score, and Gabriel the own goal from Henderson, but Gabriel to get in the game. And then Trossard, second half, makes it three. Martinelli comes on, get two. Almost perfect day for Mikel Arteta.
Yeah, almost.
Clean sheet.
Yeah, clean sheet. Gabriel Jesus is the only thing, Rob, that looked a little out of sorts, didn't he? Looked a little out of sorts. Really important, I think, for Emile Smith-Rowe to get some minutes. You know, they need a squad. And the fans love him. Big cheer when he came onto the field to play as well. Declan Rice injury, don't want to forget that. It looked like he came off.
He was mouthing the words.
And we
hammy.
Hamstring. So that's got to be a big concern for Arteta. Set pieces and counter-attacks with the star. Now, there was a few, I went on social media and there's a few, actually I got a few questions about Arsenal and, you know, should Arsenal fans be still, even though it's 5-0, right?
Yeah.
It was an easy day for them.
Yeah,
I think some of them still wanted more silk and more creativity and more energy and more put them away in different ways. I'm like, not now. Like, appreciate really good counter-attacking goals, really good moments and goals from important people. Gabriel Martinelli, Rob, top scorer last year.
Yeah.
They need him.
Third
because
and fourth.
Jesus
he was
isn't
on two
be,
goals up until yesterday, but third and fourth.
Third and fourth.
Yeah.
And if Jesus not scoring as well, that ain't going to get it done. Mm. So it was a really good day for Arsenal. I mean, onward and upward. Needed it, and let's see.
Just
where
on
they
the window, because we're 10 days away, and we know that profitability and sustainability is having a big effect on teams. And you say Jesus not in great form, and whether Nketiah. Do you think any business could be? Do you think Mikel Arteta could do any business?
I think they're looking at it. This isn't one of the clubs I don't think too much has talked that much about. He's always said Arteta, and he says very little about anything, but he says we're always looking.
So and if the right deal came up,
you've
got to
do that now. You've got to do that, whether it's players out. Because with this PSR, the rules now, the financial fair play stuff, you know, you get people off the wage bill, that's going to help. So they've got to be diligent and just think about deals.
Chuck a little one at you.
Oh,
it probably isn't going to happen because of maybe... Well, Callum Wilson. He was apparently available at Newcastle because maybe Newcastle's financial position and whatever. And there's talk about him going on loan to Atletico Madrid now.
Which has been refused.
Now, I'm not saying he's a thing. Could I loan him for 6 months to come up top of my pitch?
Why would Newcastle do that?
Because of the...
To release some salary?
And maybe with an option to buy.
I mean, you'd do it. If you're Arsenal, you'd totally do that.
I'm just saying, if they're looking around at options...
Yeah, it's a good shout.
You know, could Callum Wilson be a cheeky little option that Newcastle might say, we're not going to win the title. We're not going to win the title this year. Well, go and buy him. We'll pay you 40 million for him. That gives you, you know, that helps you out, gets him off the wage bill.
I feel like Arsenal now could do with a little booster.
Yeah.
I mean, Kai Havertz and Yuriy Timber. I think he's almost out for the season. I think there's actually talk this week that he might come back before the end. And Kai Havertz hasn't really had the impact that if you can bring in somebody, whoever it is, I don't know, to give him a little bit of a boost, they could probably use that. But they got a boost. 5-0. That's exactly what they needed against a struggling Palace side. Yeah. So well done, Arsenal.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Let's take it to the GTEC because
there
really was only one story here. It was after an 8-month ban, the return of Ivan Toney. The main man was back. Not only was he going to lead the line, he was going to captain the team. Thomas Frank talked about he's mentally in the right place, he's physically in the right place. He's so important to the team. Brentford team, 5 straight defeats, things not going well.
Really struggling.
And, you know. I think we all believe in Thomas Frank and his coaching and the way the football club work, but they were in a bit of trouble, Rob. Toney comes back. Toney scores a goal. Laced with a controversy. Brentford win. Happy days.
Happy days. And fair play to Ivan Toney. We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
But fair play to his conditioning, by the way, and his energy and his drive and his passion to get back.
100 minutes he played with the injury time.
I don't think we thought he would go the whole... I know he's been playing practice matches.
Yeah.
Practice matches can be, well, will be, way down on the tempo. And I heard an interview and he said, yeah, they are. But you get it, you get out what you put in. So he must have run his socks off in these games to get... That's some condition, Rob, to be like that and be that effective.
Well, he's obviously taken all of his frustrations out on his training, and put it all into that. Because I had a press conference the day before with Thomas Frank, and he said, he can do the full... Someone said, you know, you're looking for an hour out of Toney. He went, no, he'll do it. So if adrenaline and everything else doesn't get to him and start to affect him, he said he'll be good for this.
He came over to the US in this band.
Yeah, Nashville and somewhere else. He was doing strength and conditioning.
Yeah, and finishing training.
He brought a finishing coach with him. Yeah, who used to do the England national team.
Right, so fair play. Yeah. Fair play to be that ready. And I think, you know, he owes the club a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they've
been
without him for 8 months of something that he did. Mm. The fans have backed him tremendously as the club, as the manager and everybody else. So,
but he actually looks like a good guy, Rob, as well. He's important to the club, isn't he?
Yeah.
Big personality. Looks like gets on in the dressing room. He's a bit of a boost. We've all had him in our career, haven't we? Regardless of what they do on the football pitch, there's a few people who you need in your dressing room.
Yeah, he's going to make a difference.
Tony's a man. Yeah,
he'll make a difference. Let's get to the free kick, Rob. We'll get to Forrest. We'll mention Forrest after this. This free kick and what he did in it has really split opinion. I don't think I've ever seen, actually.
And the social media side, the former players,
the pundits.
I don't think we've seen anything like this, probably why. In all the time, I've never seen anything like this.
Let's start this off, Rob, by saying what we've done in games, okay?
Yeah.
And whether you call it
gamesmanship, sportsmanship, trying to gain an advantage, professionalism.
Yeah.
You know, there's a kind of a line here, and the far end of the line is cheating,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
And we've all done things like nick a bit down the line to throw the ball down,
of course you do,
push people out the way for a free kick, which
move
I've
the wall
done,
a bit closer,
move
when
the ball
referee
a little bit closer,
throw, you know,
and a few things to get a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah.
And I think, for me, I did it, and that's there's a little wiggle room. That's what it's saying. They're pushing the boundaries of the law.
Yeah, it's professionalism, Rob. You're in professional sport.
Yeah, and you push the boundaries a little
bit.
As
far as you can.
This, for me, was not okay.
You think this is over the boundary?
This is going over the line when a referee draws a mark on the field where this baller has to be or very close to it, and you have it seemingly a couple of players that talk about it. One talks to the referee. The other player picks up the foam. First moves the ball a little bit. Then he picks up
a
foam.
Ivan Tony
has the ball. And he picks up a bit of foam and moves the foam to a different place. Then moves the ball again. He moved the ball twice, the foam once.
Yeah.
And that gave him a little window. And there's arguments about what Forest player should have done or the goalkeeper, Rob.
Right,
but there's no
up.
Question.
Yeah.
Moving that ball gave him a much better chance to score.
Correct.
And in my opinion, right, first off, you shouldn't do that as a player. It's too far of what we just talked about on that line.
Mm-hmm.
And second off, the Forest players you thought would have complained about it or lined
Nuno
the wall up different.
After, by the way.
But other than that, the refereeing and my goodness, you know, we've got cameras. We've got more than 20 cameras at games.
So is it not on them rather than the player? And I don't disagree with the majority of what you say. What I would say, Rob, is we all do what we can in that circumstances to win a game for our team. I've had a situation. I remember we played Manchester City at home. Ball got played into the box. I went to head it, and it hit my hand and went in. And, well, we know that you can't score a goal with your hand, and I'm looking at now. Am I supposed to go up to the ref and say, sorry, ref, it hit my hand, it went? No, I cheered, I ran off, I celebrated, I heard the guy on the tunnel say, Earl scores for Wimbledon, and now you could say that's cheating or not.
We're on a line here.
Okay, and you think that's okay, that line's acceptable?
On something like this, this
if,
is
if
very...
If Ravinelli had done what Tony did for Middlesbrough to score... to keep you in the Premier League the year you went down, what would you have said to him when after the game? Would you have said, Rav, I think that's a bit over the line? Or would you have said...
I might have said that, but I'm taking it because...
Of course you
I
are.
Wanna,
and,
I
that's what, and that's what it I think doesn't... Tony is. I think you have a right to say, now I'm not in and I'm an observer and I'm an analyst. I don't like it, but maybe if I was playing, I do.
Yeah.
But that's different. But can I also go just to another point where I think Ivan Tony's copped a lot of different opinion, and some are okay. I heard Alan Shearer, the great striker, say, take advantage, absolutely no problem with it. But what I'm saying is, it looked to me, and I said to you, that Jensen went to Tony, Jensen went to the referee, the players knew. So the players knew, it's been rehearsed. If it's been rehearsed, it's been coached. If it's been coached, Thomas Frank.
I am speculating,
but I'm telling you what, that just didn't look like that was... Ivan Tony's doing it on his own back. There's others involved. Jensen looked like he went across and did the whisper and then went to the referee.
Yeah,
moving the ball?
And maybe Tony thought, you know what? I got foam here. Maybe I should move that as well.
Correct.
2 points.
Okay.
Back on your cheating, deceiving referees and all that. I think we're absolutely on the same page, and most former players are and pundits are, of diving as being an attempt to deceive the referee, Rob.
Yeah.
It's an attempt to deceive the referee. Now, in some parts of the world, that's seen as a skill. For the majority,
we don't want it.
The flipping referee's
game.
Job is hard enough as it is.
We see diving
in the box as cheating. We want it eradicated. It's a yellow card.
Mm.
Now, isn't this the same sort of egregious way of trying to gain an advantage? They deceive the referee, Rob. And just let me finish on this point. The referees, we as former pros and pundits, we slaughter referees sometimes about how they do their job. They're incompetent. They make bad mistakes.
Yeah.
My goodness, if the job isn't hard enough as it is, and you're going to have players that kind of deceive him, move things without him, my goodness, it's hard for a referee to do his job.
To that point, refereeing is the on-field referee, the two assistants who are there,
right,
and VAR.
Agreed,
100%. And so between 100%. The four of them, if they don't get it right, Rob, I have every right to score the goal and celebrate. Now, if VAR comes and goes, he's moved that and he's moved the phone, you've got to take it back, then I'm okay with it.
I don't think
Ivan Toney's... The cheating thing, I think, is a bit too strong.
You call players cheating for diving in the box? Do we call them cheats for diving in the box?
If they dive, yeah, because
they're trying to deceive the ref.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think it's a little bit on that, right?
I see them different.
I know, and I understand that. And
I think if the walls lined up properly, Forest do a better job. There's lots of reasons how that went in there.
I just don't think we can say it's okay for a player to flip and move on a ball.
I'm just saying,
what happens next? Like, you know, if a golfer moves a ball an inch, like, to get a... I mean, it's not okay. But I feel stronger that VAR... has got to stop that.
Yeah.
And it's like, hang on a minute, let's retake it from the correct position, whether he gets a yellow card for unsporting conduct, probably.
Yeah.
Though again, this whole VAR, can they even do that? I don't know if they can even do that. So it's a restart. So it is complicated. And listen, I respect everybody's opinion. I'm just saying, for me, the main thing there is, wow, we have so many cameras. Surely that just doesn't feel right. I see Nuno Espirito Santo. Think about the Forest players, by the way. Think about that. They've given away 2 points there, and the fans there, with somebody moving the ball to make an easier shot into the corner.
By the way, get your goalie to line your wall up, and even if he moves it, he can't bend it in there. But listen, we'll agree to disagree, and that's part of the great thing about this game. It's about opinions.
Of course it is.
Brentford got the goals. Neil Mopay with a lovely finish that gets the winner. Nottingham Forest will be obviously disappointed with that goal, but under Nuno, Rob, we've seen change, haven't we? We've seen improvement. And I know Steve Cooper had a great relationship with the fans and the players, but things have moved on since he left.
They really have moved on. The team looks very different to me, Rob. I saw it after like a couple of games, actually. Much more emphasis on playing, having a bit of a go. They've got some good players. They're missing quite a few, obviously. Gibbs White is a big miss for them.
Yeah,
they're much better. I got notes here about how they played really well for big periods of the game. There has been a big improvement under Nuno Espirito Santo. The possible points deduction for the financial. That's a massive worry.
Yeah.
That's a massive worry about what that might bring. Now we're hearing this is speculating a little bit. The financial, they weren't that far away.
So it might not be
that big.
To
be fair, Everton weren't either.
Yeah, no.
But it might not be as many as... I don't know. We'll see. There's appeals to come.
Yeah. They've just got to amass as many points as they can between now and that case and they're finding out.
But they contributed to a really good game of football. When you see Brentford versus Nottingham Forest, maybe you don't think it's going to be fun or exciting. It was all of that. And particularly from the 90th minute onwards, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Chris Wood's a great example, actually, of improvement. I think it's 4 goals now in 5 or 6 appearances under Nuno. Mm. And getting the best of him and getting some service in, you know what you get.
Yeah.
Let's move it on to Bramall Lane, my friend. Sheffield United versus West Ham. Two teams who, when I did a bit of research, have some of the lowest possession in the Premier League. Doesn't stop West Ham scoring goals. West Ham came into the game with 4 clean sheets in the last 4 Premier League games. Opposite effect for Sheffield United. They conceded 49 goals before today, only scored 15. It was a big day for Sheffield United because in the press conference before the game, Chris Wilder was talking about how the dressing room's sort of got a buzz. There's a good feel about it. The players are on side. He feels like something's changed. And I thought all that's great for Chris to say. And sometimes, you know, managers talk a bit blasé and bravo to get everybody on side. But I actually thought there was a real difference in his team and the way they look today.
Mm, again, I think there's been improvement, and we'll never know. But, you know, if he had longer with his team, maybe if he was back at the start of the season. I mean, that's maybe it's crazy to even talk about that because there's been improvement, Rob. And I know that he's told the board that just give us some money. Yeah. Let me get another couple of players in. The player that he did bring in scored a goal, of course, Ben Brereton Diaz on loan from Villarreal, scored a good goal today. Yeah. He's trying to get more players because he believes that it is changing, and it does look like that. Mm. But you look at the data and fact, which is what we do, Mr. Earl, and they're 7 points behind Everton. Yeah. You know, and again, who knows with the deductions? Forest are improving. It's still going to be difficult, but you got to like what they did in the game, and he wanted to bring their identity back. I think he's done it.
Yeah.
I think he's done
changed his system, didn't he? Yeah,
he
back
did.
Three
we didn't see that coming, did we?
4-1-4-1, yeah.
4-1-4-1, which worked okay. Yeah. I like James McAtee. You know, he was in my... I was going to give him the underappreciated or one to watch because he's a technical little player. Again, he's another one of those little lefties we talked about, the conveyor belt.
Yeah, Man City's lefties, mate. They've got absolute patent on that. I thought they were balanced. I thought their football was quite good. I thought they looked dangerous. It was a really interesting game in the ebb and flow. Cornet gets his first goal for West Ham. You know, gets him off to a great start. Beaton D, as you say, gets a nice finish. Reacts really well. I thought it was a finisher's finish, if you know what I mean. You know, somebody reads a game and then I've got that killer instinct. So they get 1-1 into the break. Ward-Prowse gets the penalty because of Hamer foul on Danny Ings, who made great little skills. So Ward-Prowse gets some head in it. 2-1, we're thinking game's pretty much done. Mm. And then
this is typical West Ham. Yeah, like patient, tough, you know, durable, and ruthless.
Taking chances, ruthless when they come. And again, not always bossing the game, but being in charge. And then we had a mad few minutes, mate, in the game, didn't
minutes.
We? Soufal, who'd made, got booked for dissent for a challenge of when Ryan Brewster went in on...
Ryan Brewster was first.
Oh,
that's
sorry,
the first
Ryan
red
Brewster
card.
Was first, yeah, the red card.
What a challenge that was.
Sliding in off his feet. I mean, just on the pitch. He was on the pitch for, 13 minutes?
13 minutes, I think. Yeah.
You know, big money record signing from Liverpool at the time. Struggled for goals. Got injured. Trying to get himself fit and back on the track. Just, I don't know if that's frustration, Rob. I don't know if he's, you know, just can't quite, you know, get his head around where he is at the moment. Must be difficult for a young man who was a star as a kid and been talked of. But it was you know,
crazy
I think clearly
challenge.
A red
crazy
card.
Challenge, yeah.
But in that incident, Soufal picked a card up, didn't he, for dissent? I think because the referee initially gave a yellow and then went to VAR and made it a red. So someone would say maybe he's a bit unfortunate to get that yellow, Soufal. But a few minutes later, makes a challenge, definite yellow card, second yellow, just before the end of the game, off he pops.
And at this time, you think, that's it.
Yeah, 2-1.
All over. Yeah, 2-1 to West Ham United. They have an extra man.
Good run. Good points on the road.
And then if you look at the clock, Rob, it was 96 minutes, and there was 6 minutes of stoppage time.
So we were virtually done.
And Soufal, we were virtually done. Soufal makes that challenge. It's his second yellow card. Yeah. And, of course, that adds time. Mm. If he doesn't make that challenge, Rob, I think
it's done.
Maybe I'm wrong. But maybe the time was up.
Like,
he probably blows the whistle. Foul, yellow card, red card, off you go. More time. A few seconds later, the ball is swung
cross
in.
Comes in, yeah.
And
Areola makes a big mistake.
Alphonse Areola, the goalkeeper, comes off his line. What should have happened?
What should have happened is Areola should have looked at the situation, read the pace of the ball, seen that the McBurney's been picked up.
Yeah.
Stay on his line. If McBurney gets ahead, he's got to deal with it. If he doesn't get ahead and the ball goes out of play, which looked like, we're pretty much good. We've run the clock down. I kick it out, the whistle goes. And you made a good point, and I'd written it down, Rob. So much in football, at the top level, is your decision.
Of course it is.
Yeah. And his decision as that ball came in was, I don't know if you felt he wanted to be a hero, felt he was
clear
under pressure,
ball,
but he came out with one of those flying Superman, I'm going to punch it, misses a ball, hits McBurney in his own play. They both go down. He gets a smack in the mouth, which leads to him coming off, and a penalty kick is given. Fabianski comes on and has to take the kick. Now, it was really, I mean, I don't know how long, it seemed like 10 minutes between the incident and the kick being taken. And we saw McAtee with the ball, didn't we? Which is a pretty clever.
We've seen that a couple of times before now.
But I thought McBurney said an interesting thing, because he said he always knew he was going to take it, but he got himself away and he said, I got my breathing right. And I know football clubs and football are starting to use breathing coaches, Rob. Just, you know, in certain situations, exhale, breathe out.
Get away from the drama.
Get
away from people pulling you.
Get your heart rate down.
Or he's going to be in the middle of it. He's got the ball.
Focused,
he comes away, he can close his eyes and get his breathing down to calm him up, ready to take the spot kick, which he did.
And he was
calm,
and he put the ball in the back of the net.
And then that, we're thinking
we're done. Oh, what a game. David Moyes will be disappointed he dropped 2 points. And then, mate, we've got seconds on the clock.
Oh, blimey.
West Ham go down their right-hand side. Johnson, who came on, I thought was excellent.
He looked good in midfield.
For West Ham. Yeah. Slings a ball in. These are coming together between Jared Bowen and Sheffield United.
Ahmed Hodzic.
Oh, Ahmed Hodzic. Really
good centre-back. Captain for the day. He's captain.
He's the one that people are looking at, aren't they?
Yeah.
Now, there was a coming together of those two players. Bowen goes down basically on his back. Ahmed Hodzic falls on top of him. My first view was, I'm not sure. Get a second look, and I'm thinking, penalty.
Are you
defenders got hold of him? I know these are coming
decision
together.
Decision on the field. Decision was a no
was
call.
Was no call.
So it's got to be a clear and obvious error.
Yeah.
To give it.
And it did go to VAR.
I think it was a clear and obvious error.
Mm. Let me tell you why I think it's a clear and obvious error. And I can be a million percent wrong, and I know you've got a very strong argument. Is that Bowen makes a run to run across the back of thing, and there's contact. And I'm not saying Bowen is not holding or there's any kind of con. He wants separation to free himself up because he's read the line of the cross. Amahodzic is in trouble. He's not facing the ball. He's back to the ball. He sees Bowen, and he's got a piece of his shirt. Now, whether Bowen falls or whether Amahodzic pushes him, that is a debate, and we're not 100% sure. But what I would say is, if I'm Jared Bowen, and I've been late running the box, I'm trying to get on the end, I don't want contact. The last thing I want is contact, because I'm concentrating on the ball. I've got timing, hit the ball, and head it. I want to head the ball, and I don't want contact. A defender wants to contact me because he wants to stop me getting my run and my timing onto the ball. So my instinct is, and maybe it's a forward instinct that may be wrong, my instinct is, I don't want contact. Get off me. You're holding me. Ooh, it's a penalty.
You might be right. But let me chuck in another way of looking at that.
Correct.
The ball's going in.
Yeah.
NL, let's call him NL. NL. NL is close to Bowen. I don't know whether Bowen thinks this. I'm not sure I can score from here. Let me grab him and let me kind of pull him onto me. Mm. And his weight was going in that direction, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to kind of hold my ground and tilt backwards.
Without
that much
body
pressure
slam
from the defender. That's all I'm saying. And that
Royal
doubt,
Rumble's
and
coming,
that
isn't it?
Doubt in my mind was enough for me to say, you know what? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. It was a brilliant
and it has to
shout,
be a clear and obvious
actually,
error.
Again, I think we're seeing that from two different points. I'm seeing it from an attacking player trying to get in the box, and you're probably seeing it from a defensive situation.
I'm not even from an attacker. I'm not sure he thinks he's going to score. How can I make something? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll grab him as well. I'll maybe pull him onto me a little bit and not go
listen,
down.
I absolutely think it's a good shout and could be a thing.
Yeah, it could be either way.
But I think you always have to go what you got. And my gut said to me, he's in trouble. But listen, it wasn't given.
Yeah, it was.
David Moyes
said it
held his tongue.
Yeah,
he was really good. But
and I get it.
He was annoyed about it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Howard Webb might be having a few calls at the end of this weekend.
His phone's red on every Sunday. Yeah, every Sunday night, by the way.
Was this the right deal for me coming back from the US to come and run the PGMOL? But it ended up 2-2 apiece.
Who stood out for you? Who stood out? Which player stood out?
Which player stood out? I'm going to give you my underappreciated performer of the week, my friend.
Oh, go on then.
I'm not sure. Brereton Diaz had a good start. Did you see? McAtee was close. I think he's a clever footballer. Yeah, could be a real key for Sheffield United. Another from Man City will probably end up somewhere else. I'm going to go for Danny Ings, my friend. No goals, no assists in 11 appearances. So scratch one's head. But effort, application, work rate. When the ball came into him for the penalty kick that was given, the turn, the skill, and the little acceleration was like... I saw a flashback of the Danny Ings at Liverpool and at Burnley that scored goals. And he's had a somewhat difficult career. He's had injuries and form's not been great. He left Burnley to go to Liverpool, big move. He then went to Southampton, scored 34 goals at Southampton.
Right,
got a big move again
really
to Villa.
Yeah.
Never quite felt he fitted into Villa, or the team wasn't built around him. Maybe different now if he was there, when Emery's there. Since then, he's gone to West Ham. 2 goals so far for West Ham. 11 appearances in the Premier League this season. No goals, no assists. But I like that you can kind of rely on him, Rob. He'll do a job. He'll give you his best. I don't think he's a troublemaker. He looks like a decent lad.
He's got a bit of quality, tons of experience.
In an era when... And I'm absolutely not saying go and sign him for Arsenal, but a player like that who can just come in and do you a job is important to a squad. And West Ham have that. They've not really got a main striker. Bowen's going to go, Antonio's been up. Not got anybody who's a bona fide number 9. And Danny Ings comes in and bless him. The goals haven't flowed as he would like, but I thought today... His work rate, his effort, his closing down, his little bits of skill around the box. It was just a little reminder that 31 years of age. There's still a bit of life in the old boy, yeah.
Well, that's exactly what it is. And that's why we do this, because when you don't see a player playing, or he doesn't do very good numbers, you know, it's very easy to sort of, oh, Danny Ings. Yeah. Like,
but is he Premier
it's a little
quality?
Reminder that he's got a little bit about him. Mm. And his clever little turn, he tried a little nutmeg.
He
tried it, which was clever. Mm. Didn't work, and it comes back off his shin, and it worked out great, and the challenge came in and got a penalty. But he's got a little bit of class. Mm. And I think you forget about that when he doesn't play too much. He's on the bench. And maybe the expectation was that, I think we said, Rob, what a good signing for West Ham. He's a poacher, he's a scorer. Yeah. And it hasn't really worked out, but today was a reminder that he's got a bit of quality. Yeah, so absolutely. I think I like it. Yeah, I like the shout. Yeah,
yeah, good shout. So in the end, a point of peace. West Ham obviously more disappointed, Sheffield United.
Yeah.
I think it's a good point for Chris Wilder and his team, and they've got Crystal Palace now.
Mm. And West Ham are sixth, by the way, Rob.
Yeah,
sixth place in the league.
And
above
Man
United, above Chelsea, above Newcastle.
Yeah.
Moyes
yeah.
doing good work.
Absolutely.
He's doing good work.
All right, mate, we're going to wrap things up. It was another short weekend. We've had four games so far. We've had 18 goals in those four games, would you believe? Arsenal and Liverpool, both impressive winners in their matches. And the Big B was back. Ivan Toney scoring goals, even a little bit controversy in that. We'll be back on Thursday, February the 1st, to recap a full midweek of matches. That's round 22 of the Premier League. On Tuesday, January the 30th, Villa host Newcastle United. That's 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on USA. And then on the Wednesday, January the 31st, Liverpool face Chelsea, 3:10 p.m. Eastern Time on Peacock. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.